All right, as they're going out, if you go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15, and when you find that, go ahead and stand this morning, John chapter 15, John chapter 15. We're going to read down through verse 17 this morning, John chapter 15. You find your place in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one out of the pew. They're there for your use, John chapter 15. Hey, everybody get there. You follow along as I read this morning. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you so much, realizing that you are the Almighty, you're the great God. You created everything that's in existence. It's through the very words you spoke this world into existence. And today you've given us so much more. You've given us the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross. You've given us the Word of God that we can know you in an intimate way. And Father, this morning I pray that as we look at these words in this passage, that again you'd give us understanding, that you'd help me to share exactly what it says, and Father, that we would act accordingly. We thank you for your love, we thank you for the word, and we pray now you just bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, may be seated. Jesus was with his disciples. He's heading for the Garden of Gethsemane. This was after the Last Supper in the upper room, and of course he's on his journey to the cross. Judas is getting ready to betray him. And he is reminding his disciples that he had to go away. And he told them in John chapter 14 and 15 as well, and 16, he told them that he would send a comforter. And he's speaking of the Holy Ghost. And he told them that he was going to prepare a way for them. He was going to heaven, and he was going to make a place for them. He told them he was going to come back for them. And so now he's moving toward the garden, and here he begins sharing in John chapter 15. Whether it's looking at the garden or thinking about the garden, I don't know what caused him, but he began to share this, in a sense, metaphorically story, or these scriptures to help his disciples understand. So you can imagine going to the garden, seeing maybe the vine, seeing the grapes and the fruit and all that he saw. He was using this, and Jesus did this many times. he shared with people in very different avenues. He shared with the farmers and he told them and taught them about things. Of course, the fishermen and others. And he used different methods or metaphors to share often the same message. And as he is going through the heading to the garden now, he's sharing a message. And this message is one about fruit. This is the main thrust of this message is fruit. And it's not the fruit that sometimes we think of, maybe the inward fruit, but this is the outward fruit. It's talking about reproducing ourselves. And as we look at this, there are three conditions to bear fruit. Those are, number one is purging, number two is abiding, and number three is obeying. Those are the three conditions. This morning I've entitled the message, Fruit That Remains. And so as we look at this, I want us to be thinking in those terms of as Jesus is speaking, he's speaking to us as well through the Word of God. And as he does, he wants us to understand and be able to apply this in our lives as well. And so he starts here and he begins in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So here he's talking about the true vine. And again, this is a statement that has been made from the very beginning when Moses asked God, who should I tell them that sent me? He told them, he says, I am that I am. And so that I am phrase is used many times. Jesus himself used it here many times. In John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In John 8, 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In John 10, 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He told Martha when Lazarus died in John chapter 11, verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In John 14:6, Jesus was sharing, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And here he begins, I am the true vine. And so we see that Jesus is the I am. Jesus, just like God said, I am that I am, Jesus himself is God. He is the I am. And he's that I am for all those who will put their faith and trust in him and follow him. And as he's heading to the garden, he begins sharing this message, using different metaphors and teaching about fruit, fruit that will remain. And again, he's talking about the vineyard. Of course, vineyards are common in Israel. They understood this. Every Jew would understand how a vineyard would be handled, how a husbandman or a laborer would take care of a vineyard. Jesus proclaiming that God is the husbandman of this vineyard, Jesus himself being that vine. And of course, the vine is where all the nutrients come from to the branches. And he talks about the branches, which are those that know him. He says in verse 2, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. The branches, those are the limbs or the offshoot of the vine. The branch is an extension to the vine, and it cannot survive without the vine. The branch has to have the life-producing nutrients from the vine, and it's there that the fruit will be produced on the branch itself. And of course, God, the husbandman or the husbandman, oversees the care of the vine. If the branch doesn't bear fruit, it is cut off and takes it away, it says here. And in other words, these branches have a problem. They may be diseased. They may be infested with insects. They may be dead. They are removed from the vine. Now, there are two different thoughts on this. And this is not the thrust of the message, but it's just something I want to share just so you can think about it as well. And as you think about this branch that he talks about taking away, some have thought that this is a branch that never accepted Christ as their Savior. Now, the only problem with looking at from that perspective, which is not that much of a problem because many people followed Jesus, and as they taught them hard things, disciples, the Bible says they turned from him and were no more many times. In fact, this just comes off the heels of Judas, who was with Jesus and did everything the other disciples did. He was in the upper room and whatnot, but yet Judas betrayed Jesus. He was not really one of them. He was a phony, a fake, not true. So that's one way that you can look at it, is that possibility. And then there's the other way, is that maybe, just like the branch here has got a problem, again, it could be diseased with the world's philosophy. It may be infested with the world's plan. It may be dead to things of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, John writes, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world," this is what John said, "the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And he goes on, he says, "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That abiding means to stay forever. But there's the other idea that possibly this branch in Christ, if it is so in Christ, is not following Christ, is not really listening to him, may be saved, but yet, as 1 Corinthians teaches us, as saved though by fire. No rewards, nothing to show for his life. I tend to believe it's the former, the first, but again, those are the two ideas. So here we see that branch is taken away. It's no longer there. And then he speaks of this next branch. He says in verse 2, "And every branch that beareth fruit," every branch that beareth fruit, a branch that bears fruit is a branch that is definitely one that is alive in Christ. It is one that is born again, that one that has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, is the illustration. They're alive, something happens. Of course, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, instantaneously there's fruit. You say, well, where's that come from? It comes from you putting your faith and trust in Christ. You're a child of God. That's fruit that's been born just in that instant. And when you accept Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit comes and resides in you, you know that you're saved, and it's going to change your life. As you seek the Lord, it will make a difference. So Jesus is saying, the Father is the husbandman, the Son is the vine, the fruit-bearing branch is a child of God. And he says in verse 3 that that branch is continually being purged. Now what's that about? Sometimes we think that word purge, what does it mean? In my mind's eye, in the English, I would think, well, that's cut off and got rid of. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about cleaning up that branch. Someone who takes care of a vineyard and oversees that vineyard, he's not going to let that vineyard run wild. Okay? In fact, I read nowadays, I guess, those who take care of vineyards, they cut the vineyard back to where there's only 3 buds. Why do they do that? Because they want that branch to bear fruit. And lots of healthy fruit. Because the longer the branch is, the less nutrients those few will get. So it's talking about the quality of the fruit in this case. And that's what the purging does. Just as a Christian who is born again, God wants to purge us from the things of the world so we will bear fruit. Healthy fruit. And that fruit is not talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's talking about reproducing ourselves. You're born again. Our responsibility is to help somebody else become born again. We can't save anybody, but we can tell them how to be saved. And that's what this passage is talking about when it talks about fruit. It's talking about reproducing ourselves. And he told us it's by the word of God. In verse 3, he says, "Now ye are clean through the word," he says, "which I have spoken unto you." In John chapter 17, verse 17, the next two passages away, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." He's saying, set them apart, cleanse them, make them holy. How? Through the Word of God. Purge them so they will be a branch that's going to produce fruit. Because if we're not purged, if we're not getting clean, we're going to be tied up, messed up with everything else that's going around, and our focus will not be on what God wants us to do, but everything else around us. And that's what happens sometimes. We let the world's cares come in, and they misguide us, mislead us, and we just don't even tell anybody about the Lord. We don't act like we're Christians. We just go about our life. Now, I'm not saying that about anybody here. I'm just saying that's the facts today. There's many Christians who don't. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 through 27, Paul said, wrote this. He said, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, talking about the church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God's desire is that we be holy and without blemish. And as we look to the Lord, that's what we want in our lives, so we can bear that fruit that God has called us to bear. So the first condition to a fruitful life is cleansing. That's the first condition. Right here he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it or cleanseth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. More fruit. That could be quantity or quality. So through the cleansing of the Word of God, we're going to be able to bring forth more fruit. Okay? So, and we're going to see there's three different levels of fruit as we go through this in a minute. So here it's talking about having that relationship with Jesus Christ and learning and growing in Christ. Learning what it means to walk with Him. Learning what it means to live a life according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you study the Bible, you see that. You study the book of Acts, you see that in the men's lives that we study often. Paul, go look at his life and see what his life was about. You can look at these men and they emulate what we should be doing as well. And God has given us their testimony so we will know how we're to act and how we are to live on this world since we have put our faith and trust in Him. But then in verse 4, he takes it to another level. The second condition of a fruitful life is to abide. And here he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abideth in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. First you saw fruit, then you saw more fruit, and now we're seeing much fruit. And this comes from us abiding in Christ. That word abide, it means to stay. It is translated as abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry. That's what abiding is. Sorensen, he remarked this. He said, unless we remain in close union with the giver of life, we will never impart spiritual life to another. A major key to bearing fruit is to continually abide in the vine. He says, what is implied is a closeness of fellowship, which comes only through faithfulness to His Word, prayer, and the things of God. These develop the life-giving sap that enables a branch to bear fruit. And that's what we want to do, isn't it? To be fruit-bearing Christians. We want to see that in our lives. We want to see other people's lives change. Why? My life was changed. I received the Lord. It made a difference in my life. And you know what? It can make a difference in lots of people's lives if they'll accept Him. There ought to be an urgency there. This week when Dr. Fielder was here, I talked to him and I said, you know, I appreciate you so much. Because through his messages, I see an urgency. And I told him, I said, you know, I've been getting slack and lax in some things. And you preaching this week has really encouraged me in an urgency. And as I was studying this passage and I came across this, actually I was going to preach on something else. And just Lord would not let me do it. But this passage spoke to me. And it was telling me there's an urgency. There's fruit to be born or bared. And it's me that has the responsibility to do this, as we all do as Christians. And so here, as we look at this, this passage is speaking of that very thing. It's talking about cleansing, and that's through the Word of God. We get cleansed. We find out what God has for us, and then we abide. We stay by the stuff, okay? We learn what it is, and then we stick by it. We have convictions. We decide we're going to do this because that's what the Word of God is teaching us, and we're not going to let that go by the wayside. It's so easy to be influenced by others and other things in the society we live that we let down our guard and we just go do something anyway. It's easy to do. But we need to abide. We need to stay. We need to tarry. In John 8:31 through 32, Jesus said, talking to the Jews, He said, If ye continue, that word continue is stay, in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the only way we're going to know the truth is to abide, and here's where we abide. Constantly abiding. We go here, we find out what Jesus has for us. I'll tell you, I've read the Bible through many times, and I'm really having more and more trouble with it than I've ever had. Because I got to go back to it all the time, and I need to go back and say, okay, what did that say? What did that mean? And I'm digging harder than I've ever dug in my life. Because I want to know Him better than I have in the past. When we abide in Him, He promises us much fruit, He says in verse 5. Much fruit. So one of the things we can take from this, I personally can take from this, is that if I don't have much fruit, then I'm probably not abiding like I should. You see? That's the flip side of it. If I have no fruit, I'm probably like that branch in the beginning, where I'm not doing anything, dead, diseased, infested, maybe not even saved. He tells us in verse 6, He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I saw somebody make a face, not a bad face, but the same face I would have made and did, because it's kind of unclear. We're talking about abiding. The vine, it says that the branches are in Christ. It doesn't say in Christ, it says in me. It's not the same as in Christ, as Paul writes in Romans, that we're in Christ. Jesus is using the illustration of the vine. And the illustration of the vine and the husbandman, we know that when there's something that's dead, infested, and is not growing, the husbandman cuts it off. And here, he's talking about if that vine is not abiding in him, maybe it's broken or something, and there's no fruit being produced from it. Then it's removed. And here it says it's burned up. There are three thoughts here, too. One of those thoughts is this could be a saved individual, but they're not working for the Lord, not following God. And the Bible teaches us there is a sin unto death, because God's going to chasten His children. And if we don't come back to Him, we may be like that vine, and we may be like 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us, no rewards, saved as though by fire, the skin of our teeth kind of thing. That's one way of looking at it. The other is they're lost and they're burned up. They never really put their faith and trust in Jesus, like Judas did. There are people in churches everywhere across America today sitting in pews that have never been born again. Would tell you they are, but they're not. Because they've never received the Spirit of God. Don't even understand what it is to receive. Say, how can you say that? I'm one of them at one time. I sat in a pew for 3 years thinking I was saved, born again. Was not. But when it happened, I knew the difference. And there's other thoughts about this, about Calvinism or Arminianism, which I disagree completely. But regardless of those, that's not the focus this morning. The focus is about fruit. Look at verse 7. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, if we want to go to God and seek His face and ask Him to do something, He's telling us how to do that right here. He says, my words abide in you. So apart from the Word of God, we are not going to know the will of God. We're not going to know what He wants us to do. Because it's through the Word of God He tells us that. That's important for us. That gives me, again, more fervency and a bigger desire to study the Word of God. Because I want to know His will. If you abide in me, you stay in me, you keep on, and you keep looking to me and keep trusting me, and my words abide in you. He says, you can ask anything you will, it shall be done to you. It's amazing how that works, though, because it's like that verse in Psalm 37, if I delight in the Lord, He'll give me the desires of my heart. That's paraphrased, of course. But what I used to take that as, okay, delighting in the Lord, well, Lord, I love you, and this is what I need. I need a new boat, car, truck, whatever it is. That's not what that verse says. It says, when I delight in the Lord, all of a sudden, my desires are. He changes those. My desire is no longer for the boat or the car. Not that I don't want a new boat or car sometimes. But it's all of a sudden His desires. What is that? Fruit. Fruit. That's why we're here. We are the light of the world now. Jesus told us that. He's the light of the world. He left us here to reflect His light and be that light that He is. And so we got to look at His life and understand what He did and how He did it, because that's what we want to do, is be like Him. And it's a battle, it's a struggle, but that's why we have to abide. That's why we have to let the Word of God cleanse us. When we do that which is not right, let God come in and whack off those parts that aren't good. Take those things out of our lives that are not beneficial to us. Because we're robbing God in the sense that we're not fully doing that which we are capable in the power of Christ. He promises that we can have much fruit. In John 14, 13 through 14, Jesus made that statement again. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so God wants us to ask. He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to be in the Word of God so He can communicate to us. In verse 8, He says, if we will abide in Him and His words abide in us, He says, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. And then He says that ye bear much fruit. That's what we want, is much fruit. Some of us may not have a lot of fruit. I'm one of those people that I want more fruit. I mean, that's the whole purpose of my life. That's why I surrendered to the Lord, is so I could bear fruit. But the problem is I get in my way too often. Trip up and stumble and not abiding as I should, not allowing the cleansing of the Word of God do what it's supposed to do. And so I'm missing out on fruit that I can have. I want much fruit. He also said in that same verse, so shall ye be my disciples. So what He's doing is, if we are abiding in Him, His Word abides in us, it's going to be evident to everybody that I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want, isn't it? I mentioned many times about the camouflage Christian. There's a lot of camouflage Christians out there today, if they're Christians at all. They live like the world, act like the world, nothing ever comes out of their mouth about the Lord. That's a camouflage, if they're saved, Christian. And if that's so, they don't know you're a disciple of Christ. They wouldn't know I was a disciple unless I at least tell them, say something to them. You know, sometimes we think, and I'm guilty of this so bad, is that, well, maybe next time. I've done that more than once, I promise you. But I'm coming to the realization there may not be a next time. Jeff, you were just in an accident. It could have gone a different way. It could have been just like that. Somebody went to eternity. Just like that. And if I happened to rub shoulders with them and didn't say anything, I'm guilty. I'm not following the Word of God. I'm not producing fruit. I'm not abiding with Christ. I need some cleansing. God, forgive me, for I did not do that which you called me to do. And that's what Jesus is talking to his disciples about, because he wants them to, when this is over and the Holy Spirit fills them, that they are going to abide and give fruit. And we see it in the book of Acts. It happens right away. These guys can't shut up about Jesus. I mean, they're persecuted for talking about Jesus. And it's amazing what happens because they do that. Many people get saved. See, without abiding, we can't have fruit. And that's what we want. So in verse, well, let's talk about the three amounts of fruit listed. That word fruit in the Greek is karpos. And it tells us it probably comes from a different word, but it means to seize or pluck. And it could be literally or figuratively. And it's only translated as fruit. That's the only translation it has for that particular Greek word. And so that is speaking of plucking or seizing more fruit. Now, we've all experienced, maybe not all of us because we live in different time, but I grew up and my grandfather had a farm. I didn't grow up on the farm. I wish I would have. But every now and then we'd stop by and we'd go visit for a week or a month or whatever. And he had all kinds of fruit and trees. And it was so neat you could go out there and pick something, you know, pick an apple. Now, if you pick an apple off an apple tree that my grandfather grew, you wouldn't see this nice, shiny red thing. You'd see this thing all spotted, maybe a hole or two in it, too. It was a real apple, though, and you could eat it. You might have to be careful of the worms, because I did bite in one once and had half a worm in the apple, but that happens sometimes. But you could actually see the fruit. You could pluck it off the trees. It was there. And that's what God wants in our lives, is that fruit will be plucked off. And it's because of the life that we live. It's the nourishment we get from God, from Jesus Christ. It's talking about reproducing ourselves. In Proverbs 11:30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." He that winneth souls is wise. Now, if we flip the coin on that, he that winneth not souls probably sounds like we're not wise. That's true. In Psalm 126:6, he says, "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Many in this room could say, "Pastor, I've got some sheaves." Amen? That's right. And that's why we're here, is to bring the sheaves or produce the fruit. And it's talking about sharing with others. In Matthew 28:18, our verses we're working on says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." And then he says, "Go." You know, that word "go" is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not, if you feel like it, do this. It's a command from the Almighty God to go into all the world, right? He says, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world." Amen. He's with us. If you're not abiding, you have a struggle. You don't want to go. If you're not cleansed, you don't want to go. Why? Because you're not right. You're not right with God. You're not fruitful. You're not getting all the nutrients you need. You're becoming infested. And if you're not careful, you can become dead and be done. And that cleansing has to do with really going to the Word of God and seeing what God has to say about our lives. And then changing our lives to conform to His image. When you see something that's obvious that you're not doing, that's, you know you're not doing it, is if your heart's sincere, if you really want to abide with Christ, you're going to do something about it. Now, I know it takes me a long time sometimes to get going. I know it's wrong, but it's not that big a deal. I'm not going to worry. And many times I've walked out of the church of a service knowing that God told me to do something and didn't do it. Now, I'm not saying anybody here can say that, but I know I can say that. And what I realized was I'm not abiding with Christ. I'm not right with God. And until I settled that, I was in that condition. He said, well, I've been knocking on doors. I'm telling people about Jesus. Why don't people get saved? Well, number one, we're not doing it His way. You know, you got to do it His way. Jesus said, I am the way. And that's it, period. There's no other way. No other method. No other thing we can do. Devil has lots of methods of things. And we think, oh, that sounds good. But that's not God's way. Do it His way. And that's when you see fruit. Things happening. So the first condition, so he told us we can have fruit, we can have much fruit, we can have, more fruit and much fruit. All of that glorifies the Father. It also confirms that we're disciples. But the first condition to a fruitful life is to be cleansed. The second condition to a fruitful life is to abide. So what's the third condition? Third condition, beginning in verse 9, is to obey. Now, I know that word is hard sometimes and harsh, it seems like. But when we learn to be cleansed and we learn to abide, then you know what? We're going to want to obey. We're going to want to obey. We will put God before lots of things, money, time, maybe even family. Why? Because God's first in our life and we want to obey. It takes a long time to get there, and it's hard to get there. It's hard to stay there because so many things come into our lives. But in verse 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. When you look at Jesus' life, who is our example, he always kept the Father's commandments. Always. That is our goal. Can I do that? No. But that's my goal, or should be. And sometimes it's not. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, I love you, God. Read the Word of God. I love you, God. Pray. I love you, God. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Often it's just the opposite. I love you, God. Well, there's my Bible. I'm not going to look at it. I love you, God, but I'm not going to pray. I love you, God. Tell somebody about Jesus. Forget that. I don't have the confidence to do that. Why don't I have the confidence? Because I'm not cleansed. I'm not abiding, which leads to not obeying. And that's what God wants in our lives is obedience. It shows and demonstrates that He's above all. He's the one I love more than anything else because I'm willing to be obedient no matter what. It's a struggle. It's a battle. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 4 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's abiding in the love of Jesus. It's obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11 he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That is amazing to me because the very things sometimes I struggle with and I wonder why there's no joy is because Christ is not joying in me. That's probably not a word, is it? We're saying it right. It's because I'm not really doing what I'm supposed to do. And that's where the chastening hand of God comes in. And you know, there's two choices for the Christian. If you're not abiding, and you're not getting cleansed, and you're not obeying, you better have the hand of God on your life. You say, what are you talking about? I said, if He's not chasing you, you better go get a checkup and see if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Because the Bible teaches us He does chasten His children. And that's the choices. Abiding, staying, cleansing, obeying, or chastening. Now, He's merciful and He's gracious. I'm so glad that He doesn't do what He did to Ananias and Sapphira. I'm so glad he doesn't do to me what he did to Achan. When they just disobeyed instantaneously, he took care of that. It's the same God, by the way. But there's mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean he's going to do it forever and ever and ever. There comes a point when he says, Bruce, I'm tired of this. You've been lying too long. It's enough. You're done. You're not following me. You're not abiding me. You don't care about other people. You don't care about bearing fruit. And he might say, this is done. I don't want to go there. I want to be done when I can stand before the Lord, if he will ever say it to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. I think we all want that. So he tells us to obey. Verse 12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, loving one another has a big scope of things. It's talking about the Lord with each other. That's part of the love we have. If I love God and you love God, we're going to talk about God. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk about things of God. Why? Because that's who we love. You know, some of us, I'm guilty of this, we sit around and talk about Dallas Cowboys. Not much to talk about there, though. Maybe this year. No, I don't know. I'm about disenchanted with them anyway. But anyway, I mean, we talk about things we love, do we not? It's true. And so you know when you're talking to a person what's on their heart and mind. Often they don't say or mention the word Christ at all. They don't want to even hear it sometimes. And there's a problem there. But anyway, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is talking about himself laying down his life for us. In fact, in the next two verses, he says, I don't call you servants anymore. I'm moving you up. You're my friends. I'm so glad to be a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm still a servant. In my heart, I want to serve him with all my heart. But he calls me friend. That's amazing. It's amazing that he'll do that. He says in verse 14, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Am I stressing the Bible? Do you think I stress the Bible a lot? I do, don't I? You know, one of the things when I came to this church, one of the things they told me says, make sure you preach the Bible. It's the Bible we want. And I'm telling you, that's all I can give you. It's true. And I'm going to give it to you every time. Now, if my opinion's in there, that might not be true. So discard that. But take the Word of God for what it is and follow it. He goes on in verse 16, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Boy, that's a tough verse. People have a hard time with that, don't they? This chosen thing. How did Jesus Christ choose me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, when he went to the cross, he chose everybody. Now the responsibility is on our foot. We as fruit-bearing Christians who have the message need to tell others so they too can choose Christ like we did. And that's the thing. You're chosen. I'm chosen. I accepted Christ as my Savior. In John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In that same passage here, he says, chosen you. And then he said, ordained you. That word ordained means to be placed. He has placed us in the family of God to do the business of God. That's who we are. And that's what God is doing in our lives. Everyone in this room is on this journey that knows Christ as their Savior. If you've been born again, you're on this journey. And where you are depends on whether you're being cleansed, abiding, and obeying. Because we cannot be doing those things and still be on the journey, maybe a little farther back, maybe struggling with some hump in the road that we can't get over. Whatever's causing us to take that next step is holding us back from bearing fruit. Remember, an evangelist used to go, poof, poof. He could do it real good. Poof, 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 poof. And show you how to bear fruit, you know. It's like a poof, or poof, and whatever he did. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. I wish I could do that. Maybe I did. I don't know. And all of this is really in response to us being close to God, he says that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Three conditions to bear fruit: purging, abiding, and obeying. And if we will follow this principle, he's going to enable us to bear much fruit. Initially, we can bear fruit. Abiding, we'll get more fruit. Or purging, excuse me, more fruit. And abiding, we get much fruit. God has called us to be fruit bearers. And Matthew 7:18 says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I want good fruit. Let's ask God to help us to be fruit-bearing Christians. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the Word of God. We pray that you would help each one of us. Father, you've already spoke to my heart before I even preached this message. You preached it to me. And I can see there's things in my life that I need to be cleansed continually, that I need to abide all the time, and I need to obey you. Father, help each one of us to see the need to do that so we too can bear much fruit. Have your way in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.